Aside from the incredible Sonoran views that Tucson has, and I credit a lot of that to the Catalinas, they are just a very majestic mountain range to watch the sunrise come upon. But there's a lot of great other mountain ranges around that, a little higher in elevation than the other parts, Casa Grande or Phoenix, so you get a lot more desert wildlife growth and vegetation. But we're at the Tucson Convention Center today, and we're always here for Saba, but Saba's not the only thing that goes on here at the Convention Center. Still a great concert hall. You have a hockey team here?
Yeah, so we cut a deal. We were hopeful that when we renovated the Tucson Convention Center Arena, which, by the way, a couple years ago, after we finished that project, we won the Arizona Public Works Association's Building of the Year.
For that
renovation. We're really proud about that. But we, you know, more importantly, we kind of, when we did that, we were thinking about hockey, and we knew there were some discussions with the NHL about moving teams, AHL teams, west. And so we've been in discussions with the Coyotes for quite some time. Really tickled that we were able to put together a multi-party agreement with them and Rio Nuevo and the city. Rio Nuevo owns this venue, but we lease it to the city, so it's a tri-party agreement. And then we brought the Roadrunners down, and they just finished their inaugural season. Started off with a bang, and then with some injuries and some other things, they didn't finish that strong. But, you know, they need about 2,500 attending to break even, and I think their attendance has been a little north of 4,000 on average, and which I think is great as an inaugural team. Super leadership, great folks, really proud of them and what they're doing in our community. So you can come downtown now and you can play hockey. And I know some people would say, well, why would Rio Nuevo be interested in that? Well, you know, it's interesting. People that come downtown pay on average $30 downtown in addition to whatever reason they came here, whether it's parking, whether it's restaurants, whether it's this, whether it's that. All that stuff's subject to a tax. Guess what? We get a piece of that. So, yeah, that's why we're interested in hockey. To us, it's not only a nice little venue for our community, but it's also a nice generator of revenues for our community and adds a lot of excitement to downtown.
Well, so one more reason to come down and enjoy everything that's going on down here. Like we've talked about all the good food. We're real foodies at Rosie on the House. And then just you do the hockey. And then there's also a couple of historical things to
So the district, we just sold to the Rialto Foundation a little over a year ago, the historic Rialto Foundation, which is, you know, just right across the street from where you guys stayed last night. And if there was some happenings going on, my guess is you may not have got as much sleep as you would have liked. But anyway, so that's a real cool venue, and that's now in the foundation's hands. And, you know, they're in a fundraising thing to retire debt, and we're just really tickled. Because, you know, the money that we sold that to them, we can repurpose that money, and $1 equals about 10 bucks of new construction. So if that stuff is in the right hands, the district is happy. We can repurpose that money and do other things with it. We'd love to see that happen at some point in time, I think, with the Fox Theater as well. And maybe people that haven't gone and seen that venue, wow, is that impressive. I mean, it's just this really cool theater with frescoes, murals, and comfortable seats, and, you know, and then they've added all the bells and whistles with the upgraded sound systems and this, that, and the other. It's just it's a really, really neat place. They've got a building, a foundation as well, and they're doing quite
You know
well.
How old that building is?
Kind of do you're going to ask
I'm
me.
Sorry. That's,
you know, I want to say that's a 20s era building,
okay,
if I'm not mistaken. I should know that. Now you're going to put me on the spot.
Well, it's just kind of cool. You got all the millennial little hangouts, and then you can step back in time to Fox Theater or Hotel Congress or Rialto.
I think the other thing that's neat, you just touched on it. You know, if you want a 10-toe express, just walk around. You can do that in our downtown. You know, you can feel good. You can feel safe.
I like that.
You can, yeah, you can just 10-toe express, man. Just do your 10-toe express around downtown. And then if you say, you know what, I'm thinking I want to jump on the streetcar. Well, you can just, you know, you've got this big loop that you can just kind of go see a whole lot of stuff. So
with the streetcars, one thing that always makes me kind of smile, both in Phoenix and Tucson, you see pictures from the 40s and 50s. They had streetcars with electric overhead wires that all got ripped out. And now in the modern era,
we've added them all back in.
They're back in both markets.
Yeah. You know, I think what's interesting about, you know, and I think the one up in Phoenix is just – and I look at how it's boosted the economy there and provided connectivity and stuff. It's the same thing down here in Tucson. It provides really good connectivity. I was talking to a professor the other day, and he was all excited because he's over at the university, and he came downtown for lunch. And I was like, what's the big deal with that? He says, well, you don't understand. He says, if I would leave the university and drive over, when I got back, my parking space would be gone. Now I can just jump on the streetcar, and they have a, you know, the university bought them all a pass. That was their contribution to the streetcar. So they can just jump on the streetcar, zip downtown if that's what they'd like to do, or somewhere on 4th Avenue, and just go have a great dinner. So a lot of stuff going on.
Now, you've mentioned 4th Avenue twice. For somebody that's never been there, that's equivalent to Mill Avenue in Tempe.
Yeah, and so actually it's interesting. So last weekend they just had the – I had to ask. I want to say it's like the 40th annual or 45th or 48th, 40-something annual street fair on 4th Avenue, and they basically, you know, basically do anything. They block the street off. The streetcar can only go so far, and so they have a streetcar on one end, streetcar on the other end, but the middle of it, there's no connectivity because that's what the street fair is, and it is a huge event. Went on last weekend, and it's a three-day deal. There's always something going on, too. So right now we've got a spring fling going on over the university. There's all kinds of glass and art shows going on. I think Philip Baum downtown has got a big glass show going on this weekend. He's a pretty interesting guy, another Tucson treasure, to be quite frank. So I think it's just a lot of stuff going on, and not just in downtown, but in Tucson as a whole. Obviously, the district's focus is downtown. So that you would ask about, I think, the boundaries for that. So, again, it includes both Park Place Mall, which is at Wilmont and Broadway, and it goes from there all the way to downtown, so it picks up Elkhorn Mall as well. So those are, you know, two of our, you know, four malls in Tucson, or indoor malls in Tucson. So the district picks up, you know, revenue off of two of those. The district will term financially in 2025. We are currently the only such animal in the state of Arizona.
There are very unique.
Yeah, very, very, very unique, and it has been a huge. Let me put it this way. Without Rio Nuevo, none of those three hotels would have been built. Roadrunners Hockey would not be here. Caterpillar would not be coming to Tucson. Hexagon Mining would not be staying in Tucson and coming downtown. And does that mean we have not had other partners? No, trust me, we've had a lot of other partners. But Rio Nuevo is that last piece to make something happen. And we just have a lot of abilities the way that we were structured by the legislature. That allows us a lot of flexibility to do things, not in a giveaway program, but in a let's be smart and figure out the best way to do this and the best way to leverage state taxpayer funds. These are not Tucson's funds. These are monies that would go back to the state. They would go into the general fund and be distributed. These are funds that are peeled off and come back to the Rio Nuevo District with an intent and a purpose. And everything that we look at and everything that we do and every discussion that we have when we look at a project is, does it add tax revenues to the district?
You had a quote you gave me yesterday just about being community-minded. Do you remember what you told me? You guys just have a really heart for the community. It's not like
you
come in and change Tucson on top of it. A community effort.
Right. So all the folks that are involved are folks that, you know, are Tucson folks. You know, we've got a CPA who's a former state legislator who sits on a board. We've got a really bright insurance guy. We just had a really bright insurance guy whose business got crazy and he needed to step away. We've got an amazing gal that ran foundations here in Tucson, just very smart, Jenny Cox, neat gal. Our chairman, Fletcher, is probably the most amazing guy I've ever worked with. Mm-hmm. His ability to multitask and think out of the box. He's just an incredibly smart guy. And Chris Sheaf is a financial, you know, guru. It's just a really great group of folks to work with. You know, as I mentioned, Jeff Hill, Jenny Cox, Edmund, et cetera. They're all volunteers. The amount of time that everybody spends on, you know, trying to, you know, make stuff happen is pretty amazing. And we're all business folks pretty much. So, you know, I think we have a tendency to look at things maybe a little differently than maybe others would.
How does the community input on what's going on? How do y'all? Do y'all work with their opinions, or is this something y'all come? How does
we encourage people to come and visit with us at every one of our meetings. I'd love to see the community show up at our meetings and share their thoughts. We always have a call the audience. We want their thoughts. We need their thoughts. I think it's hard for me to go anywhere in Tucson where I don't have somebody stopping me and saying, "Hey, Mark, have you thought about this? Hey, how about that?" You know, we're currently looking to see if we can bring additional hockey rink to downtown Tucson. I'd love to see us with another hockey rink in downtown. We only have one in Tucson. A lot of the teams that play end up going to Phoenix to get some ice time. So there's a number of people looking at additional ice, which I think would be excellent. We're also looking at some venues that don't require ice. There's an interesting system I was up at Luke looking at that I think would be fun to look and consider in Tucson, called the DEK, Deck Hockey Systems. And it's
something you skate on?
Yeah, it's an interesting system that you just almost have to Google and look at. But you can lay it over sand if it rains like crazy, which, as we know, when we get monsoons mm-hmm. here, it does. It uses the sand and this grating system to perk the water. This system, you can convert it to pickleball, volleyball, basketball, hockey, whatever you want to. I was blown away when I saw it. I had never seen it before. And I understand our friends up in Phoenix with the Coyotes are actually the ones that helped make that happen at Luke Air Force Base. Anthony, if you're listening now, please get ready to do one in Tucson at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. I'm talking about Mr. LeBlanc. That's the majority owner of that team up there. Great guy. So, you know, we're having discussions with him about maybe bringing one of those to downtown.
And the name of that system one more time?
It's DEK. It's a large D, a big K, and a small E.
Deck hockey.
Yeah, deck hockey. And I tell you, after I looked, I didn't know a thing about it. When I saw it, you know, with my engagement here with bringing hockey to helping bring hockey to town, and I saw that, and I was like, oh, my goodness. And you can probably put one up, including the shelter, for about $4 to $4.50. So for less than $500,000, you can have a pretty interesting structure. I was just, when I saw it, I'd never seen anything like it. I just became a fan, and then I was like, should I be a fan? And as the more I looked at it, the more I became a fan. So I'd like to see. I think it's you don't need ice. You can play in your tennis shoes.
I'm just looking at that.
Yeah, I'm thinking what a great opportunity to put it. You know, all six of our boys and girls clubs scattered across our community. Wouldn't that be kind of a cool thing to do? By the way, three of those clubs are in City Park, two around school districts, and one's in the Pascayaki, reservation. I mean, what a better place to put those. So I just saw them, and my mind went, because we're still trying to perfect Tucson hockey and, get the community excited about it and this, that, and the other, and it's going quite well. But what a great way to get everybody engaged in it, because you don't need ice.
Get that next generation interested.
Now, Tucson prides itself in keeping a small town atmosphere, which they do, but they're not a small town. It's a million people. I mean, they passed the small town vote in the 50s. I mean, if it's over 5,000 to me, you're not a small town anymore. But they do a great job keeping that local feel. What part of Tucson do you call home when you're done with your downtown work? Where's your hideaway?
I live up in the Skyline Country Club, so I'm up against the base of the mountains, and you know, you can go up against the base of mountains in Tucson pretty much anywhere, because for people that haven't been here, it's a community that's ringed by mountains. I mean, there's an area that goes from here to Phoenix that's open, okay? But other than that, we're pretty much surrounded by mountains. So you'll see a lot of people that are Westsiders that just love to be in that area because it's quieter and, you know, it's just not as populated. There's a lot. My son lives on the east side of town as you're going up towards Mount Lemmon out of Reddington Pass area. I've got friends that, you know, live all over Tucson. But, you know, my office is at Broadway and Alvernon, so my office is in the Rio Nuevo district. I'd say I'm all over town. And you nailed it, Roman. You know, Tucson is no longer when you have people, and my focus is office, medical, investment, real estate. When I have people that are doing real estate that aren't just focusing in that type of real estate, but are focusing in Oro Valley, or they're a Marana broker, or they're a, you know, whatever, tells me that we are no longer a small town. Now, it may feel like a small town. I think it's a little different than Phoenix. We have a tendency, you know, as you noted, to maybe not blade things. I have a lot of people that have gravel driveways that have a zero-scape, you know, structure in the way they've done their landscaping. So the humidity is lower here. We're obviously a little higher than altitude than you are in Phoenix, so we get that benefit. What I find interesting about Tucson, when I go to Phoenix, it just doesn't cool down at night. Here,
That's
it cools
right.
down great at night.
Mr. Mark Irvin will wrap up the Tucson Hour right after this. It's Rosie on the House.